Good evening, good evening. Y'all doing good? Y'all have a good day at school?
Yeah.
You learned? Did you learn anything?
No.
That's what everybody says. I know you learned something. Alrighty, alrighty. Well, tonight we're going to continue our study. Anybody else need a Bible before we start? Mason needs one in the back. Anybody over here need one? Alrighty. Well, tonight we're going to continue our study in Mark chapter 8, and we're going to be going over verses 1 through 21.
Compassion on the crowd, because they have already stayed with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered him, "Where can anyone get enough bread here in this desolate place to feed these people?" Jesus asked, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they said. He commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. Taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. So they served them to the crowd. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he said these were to be served as well. They ate, and they were satisfied. Then they collected 7 large baskets full of leftover pieces, and about 4,000 were there. He dismissed them, and he immediately got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. Verse 11 and following says, "The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, demanding of him a sign from heaven to test him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, 'Why does this generation demand a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation.' Then he left them, got back into the boat, and went to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to take bread and had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. Then he gave them strict orders. Watch out. Be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. They were discussing among themselves that they did not have any bread. Aware of this, he said to them, 'Why are you discussing the fact you have no bread? Don't you understand or comprehend? Do you have hardened hearts? Do you have eyes and not see? Do you have ears and not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of leftovers did you collect?' 12, they told him. 'When I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you collect?' 7, they said. And he said to them, 'Don't you understand yet?'" So with that being read, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for another beautiful day you've given us to come to your house tonight and to worship and fellowship with our fellow believers in Christ, Lord, and I thank you for that freedom that you give us in our country, Lord. I ask that you bless this time as we go into your word, that be a time of fruitfulness, and that you just move in our hearts in ways you haven't moved before, and that our ears will be open to hear from you, and so will our hearts be open to hear from you, and all the glory and the honor will be given to you, Lord. Watch over us, bless this time now, in Jesus' name, amen. So, tonight I have 2 questions. And hopefully, at the end of this, you'll be able to answer those 2 questions. So my first question is, what side of the lake are you on? And we see that in verses 9 through 13. And what kind of bread are you eating? And we see that in verses 14 through 21. So as we go through our text tonight, we're going to discuss these 2 questions. But before we get into that, I would like to first take a moment to look back and discuss and kind of name the miracles we've already seen Jesus do in the book of Mark. Prior to this, this is going through our study through Mark, so we've already discussed a couple of the miracles, and then after we do that, we're going to look at our first 9 verses real quick before we get into our questions. So does anybody remember any of the miracles that Jesus has performed up until now that we've already talked about? Maybe if you've been here in the past couple of weeks, you remember. Miss Kim. Yes, Jesus walks on water. Anybody else? What was it? Yes. Good, good, good. Anybody else? Okay, that's okay. I'll tell you a couple of them. So, Jesus drives out an unclean spirit 2 from a man in Mark. He cleanses a man of leprosy. He heals Jairus' daughter. He heals a woman that had been bleeding for about 12 years. We went over that not too long ago. And then also mentions in Mark that he even went through multiple towns, and through these towns he healed multiple people. They don't say how many, but they do talk about it. He heals a deaf man, helps him to hear, helps him to speak. So those are just a couple of the miracles that we've already seen Jesus perform, and now we've seen him perform feeding the 4,000, and he fed the 5,000, not to mention not too long before this as well. So now that we've read a couple of those, let's look at our first 9 verses in our passage tonight. So in verse 1, we see that they had nothing to eat. He says to the disciples, "I have compassion on them. They've been with me for 2 to 3 days, and they haven't had anything to eat." He says, "I can't send them. If I send them, they're going to go on their way, and they're going to collapse. They're going to faint. They might die without being deprived of hunger." So Jesus, we see here, is paying careful attention to their situation. He knows their needs. He knows our needs, and we see that. So once again, he involves his disciples in the problem. It's another kind of teachable moment for Jesus with his disciples. He calls them to his shelf. He shares the problem. He asks them. And the 12 disciples kind of respond with a question to him. They kind of put the issue back on him because they're like, "Where can we get any bread in this desolate place? There's nothing that we can do just to make bread appear." They put it back to God because they know that God's the only one that can do anything. Their hope is in him. That's good that they see that. So, flip this page. My bad. So, we see Jesus quickly move into action. He asks, "What do y'all have? What are our resources?" And they say, 7 small loaves of bread. So he sets the crowd, he blesses the loaves, he breaks them, and he gives them to the disciples to pass out and to hand out. Then in verse 7, we see that a few small fish are also supplied. He blesses those, and those are distributed as well. So we're taught, the people are taught, and we're taught in verses 6 and 7, that God gives thanks for these provisions. We should give thanks for our daily provisions. And it also shows us that he is their sole sufficient provider, and he's our sole sufficient provider. So I kind of want to ask you, think about being one of these disciples at this moment with this multitude of people around you. Think about passing out this bread, passing out this fish to all the people around you, kind of this miracle bread, how that would feel, how that would be. These people would be so thankful for the food, and they'd be so blessed. So we see in verse 8 that Mark provides a simple summation of what happened. He says, "They ate and were satisfied. And they gathered the leftovers, 7 baskets full." And the number is now given in verse 9 that they fed over 4,000 people. So now he could send them on their way. So now that we've taken a quick look back at the miracles that Jesus has performed, we've looked at quickly at our first 9 verses. I want to get back into the 2 questions that I faced to y'all earlier. Does anybody remember the first question that I said? Yes, good, y'all listening. I like it. I like the participation too. Yes. All right. So, what side of the lake are you on? We get this question through verses 10 and 13. So, verse 10 says, "And he immediately got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha." I think I'm saying that right. Am I saying that right? Close enough? Okay. Very good. So we see in verse 10, he leaves the Gentile region and he takes a nice little boat ride across the water to the Jewish region. So that's all we kind of see in verse 10. Looking at 11, it says, "The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, demanding of him a sign from heaven to test him." So Jesus has been into the Gentile region. He's now taking a nice little boat ride back over to the Jewish region. He's getting out of the boat. Maybe right when he gets off the boat, he's confronted with an argument, and they're trying to test him. The Pharisees are trying to test him. And I think in a way we can relate as this as people, like students. I think some days you go to school, you have a long day at school, then maybe you have practice after that, you're tired from practice, and you come home, and all you want to do is get a snack, prop your feet up, watch some TV, and just relax. Adults, maybe you have a long day at work, you come home, all you want to do is sit back, relax. But for kids, maybe it's like your parents are like, "I need you to do this, I need you to do this, I need you to do this." Parents, maybe your kids are like, "I need this, I need that." Or maybe you just know you got to do this and you got to do that. And I think that's kind of how Jesus felt. He gets off this boat and he's confronted right then with that. So we see that in verse 11. All right, we look at these Pharisees. They wanting a sign from him, demanding a sign from him. We look at them and we think, "What are y'all doing? Why are y'all arguing with Jesus? Y'all be silly. Like, he is God. Why are you arguing with him?" But if we're honest with ourselves, we do the exact same thing. even if we don't notice about it. We complain about life, or when we act out against God's design, or we're trying to force our wants and our desires on God against His will for us, we're doing the same thing. Have y'all ever argued with Jesus? Some of you probably said, I see a couple of head nods, no, but I know some of y'all did. I know all of y'all have. Maybe you just don't realize it. So have you ever told yourself something like, why can't I have what she has? Why should I obey you when you haven't done this for me? You should be blessing me. Look at all the things that I've given up for you and done for you and the sacrifices I've taken for you, Lord. So we also see in verse 11 where they demanded a sign to test Jesus. And I just feel like it's common sense that not to do that. Like, you're just asking for a problem. You're in dangerous territory when you demand things from Jesus. When you start demanding things from Jesus, you're kind of treating Him as if He's your servant. Instead, we're His servants here on earth. He's not our servant. So, when we start doing this, we're treating God like He's our servant. You say, I'll do what you say, God, but first you got to do this. You say, if I give up this relationship, God, you got to make sure that I'm going to be okay after it. You say, if I open my mouth in front of you, my friends and peers at school and stand up for you, Lord, you got to make sure that I'm going to be accepted and that people aren't going to make fun of me. Well, in verse 13, we see what happens here. It says, verse 13 says, then he left them, got back into the boat, and went to the other side. Verse 13 tells us, we see Jesus leaves them. This verse should frighten us. It should frighten us. It's like, you think you're a big shot to man to sign from Jesus? You're not going to trust him? You're going to act like he's out to harm you or he's against you? Well, he might just get back in his boat, and he might just leave your sorry self right there on the shore where you were at. So, we don't need to do that. So, we see in that, see in verse 13 that Jesus leaves the side of the lake where they demanded a miracle from him, and he goes back to the other side, to the side that respected him. He went to the other side that was hungry for him. So, the first question for you tonight is, what side of the lake are you on? Are you on the side with the insiders, the church people you think, I've got my whole life figured out? Think you don't need Jesus? You see Jesus as a threat to your life? Are you on the other side? Are you hungry for Jesus? Do you want to learn more? Do you want to have that personal relationship with him? Are you getting that daily quiet time, spending that time with him? So what side of the lake are you on? So that is our first question. So that leads us to our second question. Anybody remember the second question? Yes, I like it. Not as much participation, but it's going to work. I love it, Lincoln. So what kind of bread are you eating? You see that in verses 14 through 21. So the Pharisees were not the only ones who didn't understand in this passage. They're not the ones that had hardened hearts, their ears didn't hear, and their eyes did not see. However, like the unbelieving Pharisees that weren't really going in the right direction, we have our disciples that were going in the right direction, but they kind of just weren't understanding. They're kind of going a little bit slower, but at least they were going in the right direction. But we see in verse 14, it says, the disciples had forgotten to take bread and had only one loaf with them in the boat. So possibly, due to a quick departure maybe, they got in the boat with only one loaf of bread. So it's kind of amazing that they had just collected seven large baskets full of leftovers, and they only managed to snag one loaf of bread. But apparently, as we see in the passage, it says they were discussing among themselves. In verse 16, it says they were discussing among themselves that they did not have any bread. Aware of this, he said to them, why are you discussing the fact you have no bread? Don't you understand or comprehend? So apparently they begin to discuss their predicament. Perhaps they're arguing, kind of blaming it on each other, whose fault it was they didn't grab the bread. Like, John, why didn't you grab the bread? Peter, what up, dude? Like, something like that. But they kind of failed to see the irony and the humor in the situation that they were in. They're sitting here arguing about this, and they kind of forgot who else was in the boat with them at the time and what he could do. But as we see again, Jesus uses this opportunity as kind of another teachable moment to teach his disciples. He cautioned them. He warned them. He says, in verse 15, he says, watch out. Be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So kind of what's his point here? What's his point? Well, a small amount of leaven will affect the whole lump of dough. It will spread through the whole thing. The leaven of unbelief has gripped the heart of Herod, has gripped the Pharisees, and they have gone away from God. They do not trust in him. They think, I can do it all me. Herod even thought he himself that he was a god. So he's saying, watch out. Be aware. Don't let unbelief take you whole. Don't let pride and self-reliance slip in and take you away and think you don't need me and that you're the only one that can do anything, or that you're kind of putting yourself in that point where I can do anything, I don't need Jesus. He's saying, watch out. Don't do that. So in verse 16, they don't get it. They talk about the fact that they only have one loaf of bread. Well, Jesus is speaking of spiritual matters, while their minds is kind of stuck on the earthly, like, we only got one loaf of bread. They're still not getting it. They're misunderstanding in this passage. So in verse 17, we see, he says, they're assessing among themselves. 17, my bad. Oh, he says, aware of this, he said to them. This points out that he's aware of their thoughts. He's aware of what they're talking about. Jesus is aware of our thoughts. He's aware of our needs. So he says, aware of this. Jesus steps in with a series of six questions at this point. And he's kind of saying, this pride has worked through you and is affecting you. Your whole body's going cray-cray at this point. Like, what are you doing? So these six questions he asks kind of relate to each one part of our body. So the first question, he goes, why are you discussing no bread? That's our mouth. You see that in verse 17. Do you not yet perceive or understand? Sadly, no. That's the brain. Are your hearts hardened? Sadly, yes. That's their heart. Having eyes, do you not see? Sadly, no, that's their eyes. Having ears, do you not hear? Sadly, no, that's their ears. And then, do you not remember? Apparently not. And that is their mind. They've forgotten. They have even forgotten not only the miracles that they had just saw Jesus perform, feeding the 4,000, also all the miracles that we mentioned at the beginning of the lesson, they've forgotten all of those that he has performed already in this situation. This is our problem sometimes. We doubt God or we question God and we forget about all the miracles he has done and what he has said to us in his word. That's kind of why it's important to us to gather like this, to remind each other of our hope in Christ and what he has done for each one of us and what our mission is for him. So Jesus then reminds them of what they need to remember. He says, when I fed the 5,000, how many baskets full did you collect? 12. He says, when I fed the 4,000, how many baskets full did you collect? He says, 7. Do you not yet understand? But Jesus helped the disciples grasp spiritual truth by kind of pointing them backwards to where they had been, what had happened. He helped them by reminding them what they themselves had done when feeding the 4,000. He reminded them, he says, how many baskets did you collect? You helped in this miracle. You passed out this miracle bread. They had forgotten that they had played a part in that big miracle. So it's kind of like they were in a Bible study with Jesus on a boat and they worried about having the munchies. They had one loaf of bread. But God's not talking about this. He's talking about spiritual matters. So the main question is, what kind of bread are you eating? Are you so worried about your physical life that you aren't eating your spiritual bread? Jesus warned about being like the Pharisees. He warned us about being like Herod and saying, it's me, I can do anything, rely on myself. He warned us, they only trusted in themselves. Earlier in Mark 7, we see that Jesus meets a lady. This is one of our other miracles. Jesus meets a lady who begged for a crumb of the life-giving bread, the life-giving power of Jesus to help her daughter who was demon-possessed. Jesus is now telling his disciples, don't you get it? It's not about bread. He's telling us, don't you get it? It's not about bread. He's saying, it's about me. You have got me. That's the important thing. Jesus said, don't rely on yourself like the Pharisees and Herod. He's saying, rely on me like the multitude of people, the 4,000, the 5,000 that I fed. He's saying, rely on me like the woman whose child was demon-possessed did. Jesus says to you, trust in me. I'm everything you need. He's telling you to rely on him. So the two questions from this passage that we've already talked about is, what side of the lake are you on and what kind of food are you eating? They're really the same question if you think about it. Are you trusting in Jesus or are you trusting in yourself? One side of the lake was the outsiders, people who were desperate for God. The other side was the people who thought they had their life together and they could do it on their own. They didn't need God. One side you had people that were physically full but spiritually empty. The other side, you had people that were physically in need, but they were spiritually full. I would rather be spiritually full rather than physically full. Don't know about you. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, Jesus is asking you, what more do I need to do to get you to come to me? He's warning you. He's saying, beware of trusting in yourself. That never ends well, as we see in the Bible. He's inviting you tonight to trust in him. Let your eyes be open to him, to his glory and his love and compassion for you. So he wants to remind you of all he has done for you too, Christians, tonight. He's saying, when you were dying of hunger, I came for you. He said, I didn't just come to give you physical bread. I came to give you the bread of life. I came and led the perfect life and died a death that you deserved on the cross to save you from your sins. So he wants to be the Lord and Savior of your life tonight if you're not a follower of him. All you got to do is trust in him, believe in him, and repent of your sins. So if that's you tonight and you're saying, I want to follow Jesus tonight, I want to take that first step, I want you right now to pray this prayer with me. You can just say it in your head. You don't have to make it obvious, but just repeat it after me. It says, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I trust in you as Savior. Take away my sin and make me right with God. I give you my life. Amen. So if you have any questions about, maybe you just took that step, if you have any questions that you need to talk to someone out about, or maybe you just want to tell somebody, I would love to talk to you. Any one of these adults would love to talk to you. These adults are here because they love you, and they want to point you to the Lord and help you in your walk with the Lord. So that's it tonight. I appreciate y'all listening. Let's pray. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Holy Father, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day and this beautiful time that you've given us to go into your word in Mark 8 and to hear from you, Lord. And I ask that you have spoken to each and every one of us, and that you've spoken a message to each one of us that we need to follow in our own lives, and that we would act upon that, Lord, and that you would be fruitful in that, and that you would just be glorified through that, God. I ask that you be with us for the rest of the time as we go in small group questions, that we'd have great discussion, and that all the glory and honor would be for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.